awesome. And I've got Jojo. Thank you so much for being here. Lovely to meet you.
It's not the first time we've met, is it? We've kind of had a brief interaction.
Yeah, we have, to be fair. So I went to a local hospitality conference back in November, I think it was, where I live in Liverpool, and you did a great talk on personal brand, which really sort of like sparked a few ideas for me and a few things clicked, which is why I wanted to get you on. So we're going to be talking about this mysterious dark art of branding and company branding and how you can get your employees aligned and all that good stuff. So just before we do, can you just give us kind of like 60 seconds on who you are and I guess why this topic is important for you?
Yeah, so I am known in the industry and known to those people that I work with as Jojo Smith, the brand and vision fairy godmother. Now, that may sound like a big statement, but in this line of work, it's all about nurture and it's all about vision. And when you think about it, the very first kind of brand and vision strategists there were out there were fairy godmothers, to be fair, because they transformed what was already there into something phenomenal, just basically amplifying what you've already got. So brand and vision strategy is what I do. And my model for that is working backwards. So you need a good brand for business development, right? Most people come to me for that top layer of business development. But business development won't happen if you haven't got a kick-ass brand. And you can't have a kick-ass brand if you haven't got kick-ass belief in who you are and what you do. It works for corporates. It works for independents. I'm very passionate about the whole brand aspect.
Superb, brilliant. So the thing I love about what we're about to talk about is a lot of businesses, especially independents, I would say, who are really time poor, when they know they need to create a vision, let's say, and brand values and things. So they just pluck some things out there, right? And they're just like, right, we'll stand for that. Let's just go with that. But then they think, right, job done. So I've got my values, got my vision. Like they probably never even tell their staff about it. The customers certainly don't know about it. And what we're talking about today is like, how can you get your staff really aligned? So I want you to qualify the problem for me first. So let's assume I've got no values. Okay. Or let's assume I have got some values, but I just haven't bothered to get my staff aligned with them. Like, what's the problem with that?
So I could talk about this for months, weeks, years, right? Because I am super passionate about it. So the problem is people don't value the brand. So we talk about values, but people don't value the power of a brand. And I just want to qualify a problem here as well that is a big thing. People get mistaken between branding and brand. Branding is your visuals, that's your logo, which everybody takes years or whatever to work out this branding, this logo that they think is going to identify them and show them for who they are. They spend all their time on that and they don't spend enough time on the brand. So the branding is the visuals. The brand is the personality, the character, the values behind what that brand stands for. That's the meat on the bones, if you like. That's what's going to have people coming back. Whether you've got a pretty logo or not isn't what is going to bring people back. So then companies, individuals are not spending enough time, like you say, working on the actual foundation of what a brand can bring you. So if you get to, people need to, in order to have clients and return clients, you have to get your clients, you have to hope that your clients will know, like, and trust you in order to buy from you. Now, the only way they're going to know, like, and trust you is if they see the personality, the character, the values for what you stand for, what you believe in, how you're going to show up, what your story is, where you're heading, that kind of thing. That's all in the brand. When we don't portray that, it's a short-lived relationship. It's a one-stop thing. If you're lucky, if they found you by recommendation or something like that, if you are not solid in your brand, then it escalates into all areas, from how you show up for your client, how people perceive you, how you hire your staff, how you run your business. For argument's sake, a lot of my brand values are show up as real AF and sassy, not sorry. Real AF stands for respect, honesty, integrity, loyalty, and fair exchange. That's what real, I spell it a weird way, real AF. Sassy, not sorry means lively, bold, full of spirit, and a little bit cheeky and unapologetic for being so. That is who I am. I think it's fair to say from the moment you met me, those values align as to who I am. From that one meeting, I was very honest about the values. I spoke about the values in that talk. You've already come back and said, Jojo, I want to spend some more time with you. I want to talk about this. That was from one meeting. That is because I amplify all of my values and who I am. If we don't do that, then how are you going to get, from an operator's point of view, how are you going to get that true enthusiasm from your staff, from your team, if they aren't on board with the values that you have? We're going to talk about how you can do that a little bit later on. But the problem is that's where the connection gets lost, and it gets lost between an owner, an independent owner, a corporate with their team, right down through to their clients. And at the end of the day, we need the clients to understand who we are. We need to add that character. We need to add that charisma. We need to add that personality. Not everybody is going to like your values. Not everybody is going to like the personality. But if you get it right, you attract your ideal clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about connection, isn't it? Which I absolutely love. So let's get into it then. So let's assume that we've got a really engaged listenership now who want to get their employees on board with these values that they've created. They might have spent quite a long time thinking what's important to them as, like, let's say, an independent owner, let's say, for example. How are they going to communicate that? What steps should they take, do you think?
I think we have to, first of all, put the time and the effort into explain to our teams what a brand is and what it stands for. Because first of all, some people, again, it's the thought ship that a brand is just the logo and the colours and the fonts. So first of all, it's the education around how powerful a brand can be. That's the first. Take some time out for that training. It's all well and good teaching somebody how to do the day-to-day, but if they're not representing in the right way and they don't understand the power of that representation, that's the first thing, is to talk about that. Unfortunately, in so many businesses, the brand tends to come second, third or fourth in the priorities of where they set up the business. And they don't think hard enough about the value that actually it's the foundation of your business. Get that right from the beginning and truly believe in those values, and you will set yourself up for sustainability and scalability within your business. So I do tend to go off. I've got ADHD. So if I go off on a tangent, it's because, again, like I say, I'm really passionate about this. Does that answer your question? You can quite easily say to me.
No. So I want to know what's the first step? Like, tangibly, what should the operator do to get somebody on board, to get their staff on board? So you've said that training's important. So maybe sitting them down and saying, this is what branding is, because they probably won't know. So if the operator doesn't know, they won't know. Okay, so let's say they now have a decent understanding of what branding and brand is. What would be next?
What would be next is to go through the values. Now, we're assuming that the leader has done this work in the values.
Yeah.
So assuming that they've done that and they've got these values, they then sit down and really assess with their team and go, first of all, this is something that I do quite a lot with my clients. I get them to speed date themselves with somebody else. So in other words, you've got a minute to kind of go through, who are you? What are you about? What's your favourite thing about you? Ask that question to anybody and it stumps them. What is your favourite thing about you? Most people will go, well, I know what I don't like. They won't actually say their favourite thing because they find it hard to be proud of themselves, to, you know, they see it as ego. It's not. It's about knowing what your strengths are. So if you were to sit down with your staff and you kind of did that exercise, what's your favourite thing? You will find somewhere some alignment within your values, because at the end of the day, values are about us being good people, right? They're about what we believe in, what we stand up for. Find that alignment, because they won't align with all of them potentially, or they won't feel as passionate as you potentially. So if you find the alignment in just one or two of those values, that's where the amplification can take place. That's where the enthusiasm can come from your team, because you align and there's a connection. It comes back to connection.
Yeah. So I just want to kind of drill this home, because I'd not really thought about this in the way that you're presenting it before, which I think is great. I think most businesses would have four or five, you know, let's say values, and they would try to impose them all onto the staff members. This is what we believe in. We believe in, you know, ethical business. We believe in this, that, the other. And because staff are so different, and especially in hospitality, you know, people are so varied, aren't they? Realistically, people just aren't going to care as much as you do about that. So you need to like almost choose your battles, I guess, don't you?
Well, do you know what? Something, this happened to me very early on in my business, and I couldn't for the life of me. This is, so my company's called Creative SaaS, and that stands for Creative Self-Awareness Strategy. Now, when you put self-awareness and strategy into your business, the results are phenomenal, right? There's a statistic out there. I am getting to your answer. There's a statistic out there that states that 95% of the population think that they're self-aware. Only 15% actually are. So that's quite big. And often CEOs and leadership, they're at the bottom. They're not in that 15%, which is research that was carried out by Harvard and Tasha Zurich, I think it is. Anyway, having these values and the expectation that others are going to have the same as you, like you said, back in sort of the early days of my business, before I was way more self-aware than I am and I'd done the work, I couldn't understand why people that came to work with me weren't as enthusiastic or didn't have the passion and the dream that I had. You have to remember it's your dream, not somebody else's, and that they've got their own. So taking that is just, it's some self-awareness, really, in the first instance of going, oh, yeah. And the minute that hit, it was like common sense. It was like, oh, yeah, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think that this is my dream and not theirs? But I was really sad if somebody moved on or what have you, because I was like, how can they not be as excited in this business as I am? So how do you get that? That's when you sit down and you go, okay, I need to think about that person, because if I think about that person, I'm going to get the best results out of them. So going through and aligning what ones work for them is where their passion will come out, and that's where you will get the best out of your people. If you, passion and purpose equal profit, if we want to talk figures, and it will always come back tenfold. And it's taking that time to understand that. But what I do want to point out here is I am really big on soul level, not surface level. Lots of people, when they look at their values, sit on the surface and go, what's everybody else's values? What are the good values to have? And they stop they're at the surface, and they don't go deeper. So I would always challenge anybody that I'm working with when we're looking at values is to go, okay, yeah, we know that you have got these four or five values. But if we dig deep on all of those words individually, what do they accumulate to? So when I looked at Real AF, for argument's sake, for me, which stands for me being real as, can I swear on here or not?
Yeah, go on.
Which stands for being real as fuck. Because I believe when you're real as fuck, that, you know, you show your wonky crown, nobody's perfect, this is who I am, then the expectation is always going to be not disappointed, if that makes sense. Obviously, there's a standard of service and everything else, but Real AF. Now, Real AF, when you break it down, was R-H-I-L. AF, so respect, integrity, honesty, loyalty, and fair exchange. What did that mean as a whole? It meant real as fuck. Be real, be respectful, be honest, have integrity, be loyal. Fair exchange is a big one. But on the end of that was the sassy, not sorry, which meant, the word sassy means lively, bold, full of spirit, and a little bit cheeky. That is who I am through and through, and I'm unapologetic for it. Wasn't always that way. So in having those, that's gone a lot deeper, if that makes sense, where most people will just pick some random ones out of the air. What do they mean to you? What do they mean to the person? Do an exercise with your staff. These are our values. What do these words mean to you? Because they might mean completely different things. The English language is a beautiful thing, but we often use it without even thinking about what we're saying. If that makes sense, it's habitual, the words we use. We don't actually think about them. This is where I'm talking about spending time with your operators, with your staff, with your team, to actually understand how their thought process is.
Yeah, I love it. Would you recommend the operators sit down with the team together, or do you think this is an exercise to be done one-on-one?
I think it can work both ways, to be honest with you, because you'll see different energies and personalities, and that can be a great insight into your team. It depends what kind of energies and personalities you've got. Obviously, you know, if you've got a real introvert that doesn't like that team kind of aspect and it's going to take them in further, it's about reading the room. It's about having self-awareness as a leader, to be honest with you, to be able to go, if I put John and Jeremy, for want of a better word, in the same room, that's not going to work well. It's about understanding your team. Obviously, when you've got huge teams, you know, time is money. So therefore, it may have to be a team exercise. But maybe, here's the thing, do you ask them who's interested? Do you know what I mean? And do you go, these are our values? You could, there's so many different ways you can be creative with this. You could put them on a whiteboard and go anonymously, in your own time, in the changing room, whatever, write down what these words mean to you. And you'll get an insight, and then you can build it from there. Ask your teams, what value, what are your values? You may find a common one between all of them and go, do you know what? We need to add that into our value structure, because this is something that has come up time and time again. But the thing with values when it comes to teams, it's a two-way street. If you are shouting trust, honesty, integrity, loyalty, but then you're paying your staff really badly, then where's the trust and the integrity there? Does that make sense? So it's about picking the values that really, really mean something to you and then sticking with them. But I find this really helps in all aspects of my business, understanding that when I do a campaign or when I put a new product out there or something like that, I can look at it and I can go, is this lively, bold, full of spirit and a little bit cheeky? Yes, it is. Tick. We've met the brief. We know that it fits with us, and we know that we'll be able to sell that effortlessly because it fits with us. If I'm putting something out that's boring, bland, then my energy's not going to sit with it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's that. It's kind of that idea, isn't it? Like, if you want some, if you want somebody to buy into something or do something, then make them think it's their own idea. So it's kind of like if you're having an open conversation with your staff and getting them to buy in voluntarily to your values rather than being dragged along, then it's going to be much easier to live them, isn't it?
There's two words here, which is encouragement and engage. Right? Encouragement. So I'm a survivor of the care system, so I was fostered all through my life. That word for me has become really, really purposeful, because the word foster actually means to encourage. And when you foster and adopt these kind of ways around people from a self-awareness aspect, that they pay you back fourfold. Encouragement and engaging with other people, not just about you, if that makes sense, then you will get that back. But it's hard when you've got full-on teams, but it will create a much better environment. And it's just putting some of these simple practices into play, some of these simple strategies can really help. And also, when we talk about brand, but I want to talk about a little bit about vision as well, because the brand is instrumental to the vision. And if you as a leader are not bringing your whole team on the full story of the growth, then again, they're not going to engage. They're not going to connect, because they don't know where you're heading. Bring them in, and you never know, somebody might actually have a better idea than you. So encourage that. Encourage the creativity. Again, it can't be the whole time, because, I mean, if I was in a team, I'd be coming up with ideas every single day of the week. That's what I do. That's my geniality. But, you know, have a set time for when those things happen, so that people can build them up or go, I know I'm going to get a chance to engage and connect with this at this next time. Mm. It really is about engaging and encouraging.
Yeah, yeah. Superb. Can you give us anybody who you've seen doing this particularly well?
Yeah. So I work with several different companies, and I call them my full sastrella clients, because a sastrella, like I said before, there's two kinds of sass in my life: the sassy not sorry and the sass as in self-awareness strategy. The full Sastrella clients are those that came to me at a certain point in the growth of their business and they weren't connected to their brand. They weren't connected to their values and didn't really see them. So I've been working with one company. It's actually a recruitment company. And she started her business because she wanted a good working environment. She wanted flexibility. She wanted a hybrid thing. She'd worked really, really hard for another company. And she just plucked a brand out of the air, like you said before, plucked a brand out of the air and then ran with it. And don't get me wrong, she was running in the right direction and they were doing okay. They were doing okay. But were they doing really okay? And was their full potential being reached? With the Fairy Godmother, it's all about reaching your full potential, right? So the potential wasn't being reached. So she came to me and we sat down and we had a conversation and we really dug deep to see how and where she was connected to the brand that she'd got, because from a financial point of view, she'd invested already in the name, the trademark, everything else. So we couldn't come back from that. So we had to find the connection. We went on a beautiful journey, found the connection, and she was absolutely obsessed with her own, like she loves gardening, she loves flowers, she loves things like that. And when we looked at the connection between recruitment and gardens and flowers, it's about putting people in the right environment. It's about putting the seeds in the right environment. When you nurture them, they grow if they're in a good environment. And this was her sole mission, to actually do that for people. She then went off and we've created the most beautiful values. It's become out in the brand messaging. It's important to say as well, when you do get these values and the messaging right, creating content for your business becomes effortless because it's free flowing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we did all that. She's gone from working in the broom cupboard as a solo recruitment person to now having, she's been through two offices now. She's got a team of six. She's £1 million turnover. And excess. She's dealing with global clients because the connection has happened with her staff. She encourages them and all of her values, she ensures it's a two-way street between her and her staff. There's encouragement, and one of their main taglines is bloom, blossom and grow. And her actual business has bloomed, blossomed and growed. Her staff have bloomed, blossomed and growed. And her client base and who they hire, bloom, blossom and grow. It's a golden thread that runs through. I hope that answered the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. So I'm brilliant. I loved all of that. I'm going to leave it there because I want to keep it nice and bite-sized for people. So Jojo, we're going to put your details in, your contact details, into the show notes. So if anybody wants to reach out and ask you any more questions, then please feel free to do so. And for me, that was, yeah, I loved that. Thank you so much. It was really useful. Thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me on.